Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Better Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Always up to something good. He has a plan. He has a plan for you to heal your whole life. And the faster we get involved with the plan of God, not our plan, not the plan of man, but as we get involved with the plan of God, the more our lives will heal. Why? Because every day you make decisions. Sometimes you make key decisions that will alter the course of your life. But if you learn how, if you get to know the Lord, and you get to a point where you start obeying Him and following Him, as you obey His word, His plan will unfold in your life. And when you get to the point that you can, when the Holy Spirit warns you about something or give you advice about something or guides you in a certain way, you can partake of that path instead of the path that you would have taken. And that will cause your life to be a rise higher. It'll be better for you. Now, this is serious business. Most people won't do this. So if you're dependent on others to do it first, you may not enter into the plan of God. You have to take God's word in consideration before you make major decisions. It's called wisdom. God knows what He's doing, folks. And He loves us. He will not give you bad advice, wrong advice, and fake advice. His advice and all of His counsel is good. We preach the gospel, the good news. God was always up to something good. To become a legal savior for us, many wars were fought in every generation from the time of Adam until Jesus came on the scene. And even when He was a child, Herod tried to kill Him. Because when the wise men came and they were looking for the Savior, Herod got jealous. And just like Pharaoh tried to kill Moses, Herod tried to kill Jesus. And then Moses ended up growing up in Pharaoh's house. His daughter adopted him because the human man didn't know that Moses was the one that Satan was after. And Herod didn't know that Jesus was the one Satan was after. He probably didn't care. He just loved power. So when you enter into the plan of God, the world don't think like God. So never depend on the world to favor you over its own. Never depend on the world for anything. Learn to keep all your faith and trust in God and His word. And as you do His word, you'll see why He said do a certain thing. And it'll make sense to you. You're going to gain new vision as you obey God. And things will start turning towards, you know, the way it should be. Your life will be going the way it ought to be instead of the way you don't want it to be. Now, last week we were teaching about 1 Peter, the whole book of 1 Peter. Now, I'm using reference to save time. You're just going to have to study the whole book of 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter's 5 chapters. It should be 1 chapter. I said that before. It all flows together. The first chapter of 1 Peter is giving you the foundation of God's structured love. It's encouraging you to love exactly no different than the Father and no different than Jesus. We're going to love and obey God just like Jesus did. We're going to lay our life down and seek to be a blessing to other people just like Jesus did in obedience to the Father. Because when you obey His word, that's who you're obeying. If you do something different, then you're obeying somebody else. Whether it's your own will, somebody else's will, or Satan. Now, Satan speaks in the name of false religion. He uses deception to play you. Now, I'm a preacher. I love people. I love every soul. Every person is precious to me. When I see you, when I see a person that God made, I see raw material. I see a person made in God's image. And all they have to do to enter in the plan of God and step out of the plan of Satan is believe on Jesus Christ. And when you believe on Jesus Christ, you're in the plan of God. All right? And when you start doing His word, your life and your situations are in the plan of God. A man can be saved and in the plan of God, but his marriage is not in the plan of God, because there's strife in his home. There's reluctance in his home. There's problems. And when people are if a man marries a man, he's not in marriage at all. He's in rebellion. 1 Peter will structure every relationship you can have and bring it under the order of God. You can't make people do God's will, but you can do God's will. And it can shape your relationships. It will shape your relationships. Your false friends are going to leave you. They don't want to be around God, so just understand, Jesus said, before you follow me, count up the cost. All right, everything that's false will leave you. Even a false spouse will leave you. What's a false spouse? All right, let me give you a picture of a false spouse. The doctor told you you have a terminal disease, 4 or 5 weeks to live. If your spouse is true to you, and let's say that, first of all, if they love God, they're going to pray for you. They're going to try to get you to live. They're going to try to get a doctor of another opinion. They're going to do steps to make sure that you live and survive this thing. But a false spouse will go and try to find the insurance policies and have them ready, so when you kick the bucket, they get rich. Preacher, that's blunt. I know it. So are people. Now, God knows who's true and who's false. And many of you have a good foundation. You have a spouse that loves you. And some people may not pray because they don't pray. People can't treat you better than they treat themselves. Now, lack of knowledge don't count. If they knew that prayer works, and if they were taught correctly, they'd be trying to get you to live. But if they don't believe that way, they're going to try to do something to make your life as comfortable as possible, because they're doing the best they know. Now, I teach people to live a supernatural life. Why not? Because it's available. Jesus paid a high cost. He hurt for you. He hurt so that you wouldn't have to, if you read Isaiah 53 and 5. By his stripes, he took on pain, he took on whips, he took on cuts, bruises. He had everything but broken bones. He didn't even look like a man. And he did it so that you could be healed. And Satan the churches preach doctrines of devils. Devils tell people that God don't heal. Devils put confusion in the church, say, well, sometime he heals, sometime he don't. Many people don't understand how to live by faith. So when they teach faith, they don't teach it correctly. Or they teach it in part. And the way we measure it is it'll be measured to us. And some people have never experienced the healing power of God. And sometimes they've experienced it a little bit. So they'll believe God for you a little bit. But the difference between a true spouse and a false spouse, the true one's going to try to help you as much as they know. And the false one's going to try to help themselves. Now, 1 Peter shows us how to structure our lives according to the love of God, and get you out of the way the world loves people. In the world, people love you if you love them. They love you if you can benefit them, if you like them, if you condone what they're doing. All right, now once you become a Christian and you start doing things God's way, your lifestyle exposes what they're doing. A true marriage exposes a false marriage. The living according to God's ways exposes rebellion. And Satan hates Christians. He hates people that expose him. So he lies to the world and say Christians, they hate you because they don't condone your homosexuality or your fornication or your adultery or your lies or whatever you do. We know for a fact that because we receive salvation, we receive counsel from the Lord, we know it's real. We have the peace of God, and before we became Christians, we didn't experience the peace of God. If you never got saved, you don't even know what the peace of God is. You have to believe on Jesus, and you have to do it wholeheartedly. You have to yield yourself to Him in order to know that kind of peace. And the world, they don't have a clue what full joy is. Full joy is when you're obeying God, primarily obeying God, and winning souls, and doing His will, and prospering. Your life is working. That's the only way your joy will be full. But because you're saved, you have partial joy. And you always have peace if you live in it. And the devil can't take that from you. And then as you endeavor to do God's will and obey Him, and the enemy tries to attack you from the outside, trying to get your inside to be upset with God, you know about the warfare. People in the world don't know about the warfare. They're being played. And Christians who are married, if you don't do these concepts, the devil's going to have something to work with, and he will definitely try to play you. Just because you have a good marriage right now, Satan has a plan against it. He has a scheme against your marriage. If he can get you in strife, he can usually either cause you to hate your marriage or end up divorced. Why? Because every evil work follows envy and strife every time. If you don't get rid of it, it will get rid of you. These scriptures in the book of First Peter, these chapters 1-5 will give you God's knowledge on how to have a solid marriage, solid relationships, and solid business relationships. Now, I ended last week's radio time talking about how just because I obeyed Jesus, I was willing to turn the other cheek. I didn't fully understand why Jesus said that at the time. But I said, if Jesus said it, that's what I'll do. Now, what I learned after that propelled me in life. Now, last week I talked about how I was not a savvy businessman. I was not trained in business. I could read, write, do arithmetic, fill out tickets, and I could work. I knew how to fix a car. That's what I did. I had a mobile auto service, and I did well in it. But I was not the best. I would have done much better if I knew how to run a business. But the fact that I endeavored to treat people the way I wanted to be treated, it helped me to do people right, to do right by people. If I did something that broke, I'd show up the very next day and get it right for them. And that gave me rapport. And all of my business was word of mouth. Even though I was not a good businessman, I lost a lot of money because people took advantage of me and didn't pay me all the time. I still made it. I still did well. I still paid my bills. And God still blessed me, and I was able to tithe and everything. Now, when you go forward in the Lord, you're going to find out why it works, folks. The enemy is trying to play you and sabotage your life. Don't take him lightly. Take him seriously. And take the word even more seriously, because that's how you're going to win. And that's the only way you will win. And people have wills. A person has a will to do what they want to do. You can encourage their will or you can discourage their will. If you do it God's way, you can encourage their will. Now, this broadcast, you can listen to it. Go to newlivingletters.com and you can hear the whole 30 minutes of this broadcast, 29 minutes, whatever I can put on that file. newlivingletters.com, and let your friends know, because the Lord has a lot to say on this subject. Now, concerning marriage, concerning how people follow God, they're going to become savvy in how to structure their relationships. Now, there's something I want to mention. When you're married and you care about your spouse, remember, you were raised a certain way and they were too. You were not raised by the same people. Your family structure and your spouse's family structure can be, that it's different. It may not be totally different, but it's different. So when people, they have to learn to blend and learn to how to relate to each other. And sometimes people have differences of opinion. The wisdom of 1 Peter will help you to hear and be a blessing to your spouse, to hear them out. I'm going to give you an example. Most of the time when couples are arguing about the same thing, if they could record that argument and wait about 3 or 4 days when they all calm down and listen to it without the other person around, they will see how they have the same desires, but the differences of opinions are not isolated, because when one speaks and they're trying to prove their point, the other one is building up steam to prove their point, and they never hear what the other person's saying. And they're trying to get the other person convinced their way. And then, you know, the wife's trying to convince the husband her way. And the husband's trying to defend himself, make himself look good in his wife's eyes, and convince her his way. And they go back and forth. And it's frustrating. And they can get to the point they don't even talk anymore. Now, with the love of 1 Peter, the structure of 1 Peter, I'm going to show you how to solve that problem. First, you can try recording your next argument and wait a few days and listen to it. And then do what I'm going to tell you to do now. Get your spouse to write down all of their concerns and what they're trying to say to you and what they want you to do for them to help the marriage. And you do the same thing that you want them to do for you, or wish they'd do differently to help the marriage. And be honest about it. And wait a bit. Wait till you calm down. And once you calm, if you're a man, you read hers and let her read yours. This will stop the rebuttal. And the enemy won't be able to work against you with that rebuttaling. Now, take time and hear them out when you look at the letter. And then have a discussion about what you read once both of you are calm. What will this do, preacher? It will help you see their point, and it will also help you simultaneously help you see yourself in a circumspectly way. Now, the word circumspectly, the Bible tells us to live circumspectly, not as fools. Circumspectly comes from two words. The first root word is circle, and the second root word is speckly, spectator. Think about a football game, baseball game. You're looking at the game from an outside, holistic view. You can see all the players. You can see more of the field than they can. They can only see what's in front of them. You can see every player from your view. And you can see how that's why in the stands, it's easier to say what somebody should do. You see what they can't. They have to look around men's shoulders to throw the football right. Or they have to keep their eye on the ball. They can't see what's coming. But you can, because you're looking from at a circumspect viewpoint. Now, when you can see yourself that way, you can come to an informed agreement that both of you can live with. And when you, as long as you're willing to serve the other person, go in marriage willing to serve the other person more than yourself. Help them heal. And if they got a bad day, they're fussy, they're upset, and they're talking things that will hurt your feelings. That's when they need you the most. Sometimes you just have to hear them out and listen. Don't say anything. And love them at their worst. Because that's the call of God. That's what 1 Peter is going to tell you to do. See, every chapter in 1 Peter, like verse 1 in chapter 2, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The word wherefore means that it's following another thought. Over here in chapter 3, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. After the same order of chapter 2. Verse 7 in chapter 3 says, likewise, ye husbands. Following the same thoughts in chapter 2. Chapter 4 starts off for as much, following the thoughts of chapter 3. And then in chapter 5, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. And that's the only one that seems to shift gears. But it's the thought flows together. Chapter 5 is following chapter 4 in its thoughts process. Chapter 4 is following chapter 3 in its thought process. Chapter 3 is following chapter 2, and so is chapter 2 following chapter 1, which gives us the foundational structure of how to love people that's very difficult. And also people who love us back, according to the sacred love of Jesus Christ toward the Father. If you can do that, you can heal. You don't depend on people to be 100%. And you'll be encouraged by God. You'll be strengthened by the Lord to be 100% toward them. And what happens to your anger? It goes away. What happens to strife? You kill it. Your love kills your strife. What follows love? Prosperity. Why? Love is obedience. Now, people who love God, they learn the most. People who are selfish, they learn the least. I've watched this so many times, so many ways over my life. Pastors and preachers that love God and they love his people, they learn more than pastors who are selfish and ambitious and trying to become famous. In fact, the ones that are selfish, they have more trouble, more strife, more aggravation. They wish they could just die and go to heaven. And some of them backslide and start doing tricky things. But those that love God and love his people, because we love God the way we love people, and the way we love people is the way we love God. And the more we love, the more we live. I learned that from a song the Lord gave me. The angel said, the more you love, the more you live. It was a beautiful song. So the more you love, the more you live. And God loves you. His love is great. If you operate in his love, your life becomes great. It starts a healing process. And the more you follow God, whatever's not, everything that's not like God is going to try to leave your life. When you live a godly standard, people that love the world are not coming around you unless they need something. Even children, they'll find somebody else to bother. They don't want to be around people that love God if they don't love God. The good thing, and the faster you start obeying God, you can shape your child's life. You need to shape your child's life from the infant stage. If you wait till they're a teenager, you got a much greater challenge. But don't give up. You have to work with whatever you got. Wherever you start following God, keep following God. But your chances are much greater if you start now. And the only way you can train a child up in the way that they should go is live the life of God. You can't live a selfish life. You can't live like the devil and raise a godly child. It cannot be done. If that child comes to the point where they follow God, it's because somebody else, they want it better than you. And if you do all you can if you live the life of God and you don't backbite and you do right by people, you can't raise an evil child. Even if they go astray, they'll come back because they were trained right. The word gives you that promise, and the word cannot be broken. Some families, they're not going to have generations. Even if whether they go to heaven or hell, their generation is going to do something to be cut off because they didn't train them right. And the child, they may have gotten murdered. They put something in motion that interfere with how long they will live. And they may not have children. And you may go through eternity with no generation to follow you. That doesn't mean much right now. But let me tell you, it will then. Well, even if you go to hell, you will want to know that you had children in heaven. And if you go to heaven, you don't want your children to be lost, because you know that they are in torment, subject to Satan, because hell is not God's jurisdiction. That's why I warn people about sin. If you're in a homosexual relationship, a man tried to marry a man or a woman, that's not a sanctioned marriage. That's a political marriage. Preacher, you sound hateful. Let me finish. If I didn't warn you, if I hated you, I wouldn't say anything. Now, if a little child wanted to play with my gun, and I left it on the coffee table, and then they went and got it, and they was playing with it, and I took it from them, they'll be mad because I took the toy. But one day they'll say, "I'm glad, Daddy, that you took that gun from me, because it was loaded." Now, if you're in an evil situation, if you're in a homosexual marriage, fornication relationship, adulterous relationship, see, I ain't going to leave the other two out. Everybody want to get mad at the homosexual. I'm not mad at nobody, even the other two. I'm pointing out to you that what you're doing is dangerous, because the word of God cannot be broken. And sex, fornication, adultery, lying, homosexuality, stealing can separate you from being in the kingdom of God, even if you once believed on Jesus. And if you go and do those kind of things, understand that you're playing with a loaded gun. It's just like a child was, DHR put me in jail for allowing a child to play with a loaded gun.